Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is the start of another week and what a wonderful Monday it is wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. I'm sure you're feeling very, very good about yourselves because Arsenal have won the North London Derby. Wonderful 3-2 win yesterday at Spurs. Not the prettiest, very, very nervy, but in the North London Derby and especially at this stage of the season, given what's at stake for Arsenal, a win is a win. And that is all that matters. So we're going to talk about that in today's show. Obviously, I did my player ratings, my immediate sort of post-match reaction video from the press box at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, whatever it's called, last night. But I'm going to go over it in a lot more in depth. Look at the big talking points from the game. Look at what Mikel Arteta's had to say. I will go over my player ratings. I have tweaked them a little bit. I've had a little bit more time to sort of consider them, what went on yesterday. So I've tweaked a couple of them, so we'll go over those pretty quickly later on in the show. Got lots of reaction from you guys who've been sending in your thoughts and opinions on what you saw in the game yesterday. And what you saw was a 3-2 win for Arsenal. Yes, it was far nervier than it should have been because of that last 25 minutes, but at the end of this season in the record books, it's just a big W next to Arsenal's name away from home in the North London Derby. And whatever way you get it, that is always a very good thing to have, especially, as I said, given what's at stake at the moment. You know, this was a game Arsenal absolutely had to win. And look, winning at Spurs when you're Arsenal in the North London Derby is difficult enough at the best of times. Arsenal went into yesterday, and I didn't know it, and I mentioned it in yesterday's video, but Arsenal hadn't won back-to-back league games against Spurs away from home in 36 years. Arsene Wenger never managed it during his 20 years at the club, which is incredible when you consider the dominance that Arsenal had over Spurs during that era, really, especially the first half of the Arsene Wenger era. Yeah, he never managed it. But Arsenal obviously have done that now because they've won back-to-back. They won their last season. They've done it again this season. And that shows sort of how difficult it is and the achievement for them to do it. But to go there to win at this stage of the season, given everything was at stake, not just for Arsenal, but for Spurs as well, make no mistake about it, this was Tottenham's cup final yesterday. They had trumpeters on the roof, for God's sake, before the game. This was their cup final. You should have heard the guy with the microphone who was doing the sort of post-match and pre-match interviews on the big screens, the way he was talking. It was like the most emotional pre-match speech. It was like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. He was trying to wind the crowd up so much and get the atmosphere going. They wanted to win this game so much, not just because of what it meant for them, but what it would have meant for Arsenal as well. And so Arsenal going there and getting the job done, whatever way they did it, was a really, really big achievement and a fantastic result. And that's all that matters today. It wasn't the prettiest of games. Of course it wasn't. I didn't think Arsenal were very good. I have to say they've played far better this season. and not got results. I thought against, you know, they were miles better in the first 45 minutes against Aston Villa, for example, in the game that they lost recently than they were in that game against Spurs yesterday. But they got a bit of luck, which you need to win a North London derby. They rode their luck at times at one at another at the other end, and they got the job done. And you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, the pictures post-match. They're in the dressing room, on the way to the dressing room. You saw on the celebrations on the pitch what that meant to the players. They knew how big a win that was. You know, failed to win yesterday, drop any points, and that was it. The title was basically gone, done and dusted. They had that extra pressure hanging over them yesterday. So to go out there and to do it and to get the win, I thought they deserve an awful lot of credit for the way they played and for the way they dug it out and the way they ground it out at times. And that's all you can ask from the players. I mean, when you look at the stats from the game, these stats are taken from Scott Willis from canonstats.com. As always, that, you know, they paint a picture of what the game was like. 2.3 expected goals for Spurs, just the 1.1 expected goals for Arsenal. 14 shots for Spurs, 10 for Arsenal. Spurs scored from their only two shots on target. Arsenal had three shots on target. Obviously, one of the goals was an own goal, so that didn't count. Saka had the volley in the second half, which would have made it 4-0. Had that gone in, I think Arsenal would have gone on comfortably. You know, I think they could have gone on and got five or six, because I think Spurs' head would have absolutely gone. So, you know, Spurs had the better of the game, I thought. It's just a really weird game. I summed it up in yesterday's post-match video that it was just a really hard game to kind of analyse and to sum up, because I didn't think Arsenal were good in the first half, and I thought Spurs were good, and yet Arsenal were winning 3-0 at half-time. And then I thought Arsenal were good in the second half, and I thought Spurs were pretty poor, and yet it ended up 3-2. Spurs scoring two goals and Arsenal didn't score in the second half. It was just a really odd game. The North London derby is always chaos. Of any fixture in the league, I think it's the most chaotic fixture in the league, certainly in the last 20 years. There's always so many goals in it, so much drama. But this one was even more chaotic than normal, I think. And maybe that's because of the heightened emotion that was going into the game and, you know, both sides knowing what was at stake. So maybe that's what caused it. But yeah, it was just a mad game, a really difficult one to sort of try and sum up and analyse in terms of how it went. We've seen Arsenal be so controlled this season, but they just didn't ever have that control, I thought, apart from the first 20 minutes of the second half, when I thought they were really good. And it looked like if anyone was going to go on and score the next goal, it was going to be Arsenal. But then, of course, the David Raya mistake happened. It was a massive mistake, a huge, huge error. You can't paint it any other way. I think when you watch it, he clearly gets caught in two minds. He's going to play the ball down the middle. And then I think he sort of sees Romero in the corner of his eye. And it's like he tries to stop himself from actually making the pass, but he can't quite stop himself in time. So it's just he doesn't commit to the kick. He tries to pull out and he just ends up really softly kicking it to Romero. It's a horrible error. Absolutely horrible error. It just has a brain freeze at the crucial moment. And it's 3-1. And then obviously Declan Rice, a big error. I don't look at Declan as quite as big an error as David Raya, because Declan just doesn't see. I don't think that the player's there. You know, he's watching the ball come over his shoulder. He goes to clear it. And then suddenly the player's there as he clears it. He just kicks him. So I don't think it's quite as big as an error as David Raya's one. But it was clearly a mistake. I mean, it's two absolute gift-wrapped goals for Spurs from Arsenal. And that when you do that, you leave yourself having to suffer in those last minutes, and Arsenal did suffer in those last 3 minutes. I thought David Raya was excellent though in the final half an hour of that game, especially after the mistake. He could have really, really let his, you know, it could have scrambled his head, but I thought the way he stepped up and he came and claimed everything, I thought he dominated his penalty area. I thought it was a really excellent final half an hour from David Raya, given the circumstances and given the mistake he made. And I wasn't surprised to see Mikel Arteta point that out afterwards as well. I think he deserves a lot of credit for the way he responded. Speaking about the game, Mikel said, look, when he was asked about what his nerves were like, he said, look, I was praying when Spurs put the ball in our box. It was a really emotional game, a really tough place to come in this stadium, and a tough team to play against. We were 3-0 up in control of the game, and then in the second half we were dominating and creating chances, and then an individual error happens, and that puts a message in your brain. We are dealing with the situations better. Another goal and then it's game on. They have the players and the quality to commit a lot of players forward. We had to suffer and react, and I'm very pleased that we did. On the approach to the game, he was asked, you know, the way you played in that first half, was that what you were trying to do? Or was the fact that Spurs just caused so many problems for you that you struggled to play your normal game? And he said, we had an issue with the high press. We gave so many simple balls away when our distribution wasn't good enough. The scoreline has an impact, but we looked a real threat as well on the counter. They commit so many players forward and that forces you to be a bit deeper. But we didn't really concede much there. Then in the second half, in certain moments, we should have done better with that. And they should have done. The individual errors were obvious in that in the second half. First half, I just thought Spurs played well. They pressed really well. They caused Arsenal a lot of problems. You know, I didn't think Arsenal were awful when they had some good moments going forward. You know, the second goal was an absolute quality goal. You know, it's brilliant the way they won the ball. They played the ball through the lines. Saka got the ball to Havertz. Havertz's pass was incredible. Saka's touch was brilliant. The finish was great. I thought the build-up to the corner as well, the bit of play that won the corner that led to Havertz's goal, again, was really, really good from Arsenal, with Odegaard heavily involved. So there were good more moments going forward, and they did look a threat, as Mikel said, on the counter. But on the whole, I thought Tottenham were the better team in that first half. They had chances. You know, Romero could have had a couple. Son's chance, even at 3-0, had that gone in just before half-time, I think it would have been a very different second half and a really nervy second half. Well, it was a nervy second half, but it would have been even worse. So it was just an interesting North London derby. I think that's probably the way I would describe it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I thought Kai Havertz was absolutely exceptional. When there was, you know, not, Arsenal didn't play well, as I said, but I thought Havertz, Saka as well. Saka was great. But I thought Havertz, that was one of the best number nine performances you're going to see in the Premier League this season, under real pressure. Not just the goal. I mean, the goal was, obviously, it was a good header. I didn't think Vicario was great for that. But the assist for Saka was brilliant. But just his all-round performance as the number nine, I thought he was absolutely exceptional, Kai Havertz. You know, Mikel said he was sensational in every department. He wasn't 100%. He was ill before the match and was struggling a bit, but to put in that performance, but he still put in the performance he put in. I thought he was unbelievable today. And he deserves all the praise he gets, Kai Havertz. He's delivering. If you'd have said at the start of the season, in those first couple of months of the season, that Kai Havertz would pretty much be the driving force behind Arsenal's title charge during the run-in at the crucial moment of the season, none of us would have believed it. No one would have believed it. We'd have all hoped he might have come good at that stage when he was struggling. But the numbers he's producing in the last couple of months at the biggest moment of the season, in the biggest of games, he deserves huge amounts of credit, Kai Havertz. I think he was superb yesterday. And I'm going to speak about this a little bit later on in the week, I think, in terms of Havertz, what he's doing at number nine and what it might mean for the transfer window this summer. You know, he's certainly given Arteta and Edu a decision to make. You know, if they were really determined to sign a number nine before they decided to move, or Arteta decided to move Havertz up there permanently, which he pretty much is playing permanently there now, you know, do you really need to go out and spend that sort of money? You know, could Havertz get you 20 goals, 25 goals playing in that position next season? Potentially. The numbers he's scoring at the moment and the rate that he's scoring at the moment, you know, if he can carry on that, it certainly gives him a decision to make. And I will talk about that in a show later on this week, because I think it's certainly a debate worth having. But I thought he was great yesterday. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. You can see in my player ratings, I gave him a 9. He was my man of the match. I thought he was great. So I did tweak these a little bit, and I'll talk about why. So I tweaked Trossard. I put Trossard down 1 and I put Raya up 1. I gave Raya a 5 because of that error. But the more I thought about it as I went home, I thought that was harsh, because as people pointed out in the comments yesterday, you know, Declan Rice made a mistake and I gave Rice a 7, even though he made a mistake that led to a goal. And yet Raya made a mistake, led to a goal. And so I dropped him down to a 5, because I think had Raya not made that error, I think I probably would have given him an 8 yesterday, because I thought he was great in all aspects of the game, except for that moment and that error. There was one when he came out for a cross, wasn't it, and Romero got ahead and he sort of committed himself early and he didn't get to the ball when Romero headed it over. So that was another one he could probably point out where he got something wrong. But on the whole, I thought he was excellent in the first half when he needed to be. The final half an hour, he was impeccable with everything he did, with every cross that came in. He took so much pressure off the defence, claimed so many balls into the box. So I thought, can I really give him a five? It was a huge error. There's no getting away from the fact it was a huge error. But, you know, does he deserve a five for 90 minutes performance? You know, if every outfield player is going to make a mistake, and if you played really, really well as a forward or as a winger and you've done your job, and that you make one error, you know, you give the ball away once, does that mean you get sort of two or three marks knocked off you because of that as an outfield player? No, it doesn't. So should I really be marking Rye down to a five just because of that one clearance? I just thought it was harsh. So I bumped him up to a six, basically. And Trossard I put down to a five because I just don't think Trossard played very well. And I was looking at that and I was thinking, you know, Trossard, I just think he was the worst player on the pitch from Arsenal by quite a distance. I just never thought he got up to speed of the game. He kept giving the ball away, kept getting robbed of possession in dangerous areas. And I just didn't think he deserved a six, because six is basically, in my ratings, is like an average. You know, you've done well, you've done your job. I think Trossard was just slightly below that yesterday, so I gave him a five. So those are my ratings for yesterday. Raya, six. White, eight. Saliba, Gabriel, and Tomiyasu, seven. Gabriel maybe could have got an eight. I've maybe been a bit harsh on Gabriel there. I've stuck with him on a seven, but I think there's certainly an argument that he could have been an eight. I saw he got man of the match on Sky, which I was surprised at, because I thought Havertz, by distance, was man of the match. But yeah, so I gave those three sevens, but maybe Gabriel could have been an eight. Partey, I gave a seven. I thought Partey was good. Yeah, it was great to see Partey playing like that. Odegaard and Rice, a seven. Odegaard, maybe I could have given a six. It wasn't his best performance, Odegaard, but he still just worked so hard. He did, you know, even when he's not at his very best in terms of everything he's trying, coming off, he was just, yeah, he looked so exhausted when he came off that pitch at the end and was walking around because of the work that he'd put himself through. So I gave those three a seven. I gave Saka an eight. I thought Saka was great. You know, brilliant goal for Saka, and he caused Tottenham problems all afternoon. Great to see him. He looked back to his best yesterday, Saka, after a couple of disappointing performances. So yeah, eight for Saka. Havertz, my man of the match, with a nine, and Trossard was a five. So those are my player ratings from last night's game. Now, before I move on to a couple of other bits, I just wanted to laugh at this. There was lots of funny moments yesterday in and around, being in and around the ground and watching it and listening to it. Like I said, the trumpeters just made me laugh a lot. It just really, really did. The guy on the microphone, on the PA, he made me laugh a lot with some of the stuff he was saying. But if you're watching on YouTube, you've got a still of this. This was just before Kai Havertz's goal. So as Declan Rice was waiting to take the corner for Kai Havertz's goal. And now the guy, well, they're all funny, all of them, but the guy in the green shirt or whatever colour that is with the long hair, who has just given Rice so much abuse as he was waiting to take this corner. And then if you watch on the video, it's so funny. He watches a corner come in and goes on, and you've never seen someone turn around and disappear up the stairs so quickly with his tail between his legs as that guy in the green shirt or blue shirt, whatever it is. It just made me laugh. I've watched it so many times. And there's another brilliant video of when from the other corner, when the own goal comes from, when all the Tottenham fans are chanting at Saka, "You let your country down, you let your country down." I wonder if they sang that at Harry Kane after he missed his penalty against France in the World Cup last year. I doubt it, but whatever. Yeah, and they're chanting that, and then he whips the corner in, and it goes in for an own goal, and you just Saka turn around just doing that. There was lots of funny moments yesterday, but this one in particular made me laugh, and I bet you he's loving the fact that's not, you know, sarcastic. The fact that he's all over Arsenal social media today just did make me laugh, and I bet everyone at his work are reminding him of that at the moment. So obviously Man City went and got the job done yesterday after Arsenal's win. I mean, Chris Wood, honestly, I don't think he's ever going to be able to set foot in North London again after that for Nottingham Forest. Because, you know, as much as we say Arsenal didn't play that well yesterday, Manchester City didn't play well at all. Nottingham Forest beat them in terms of XG yesterday. They had big, big chances that they didn't take. Chris Wood in the first half, honestly, I was watching it again this morning on the highlights. Just think, he could have taken a touch. He had that much time in the middle of the goal, 3 yards out. Even if the ball was slightly behind him, just take a touch and knock it into the empty net. But instead, he just got it all wrong. He did another one in the second half when he scuffed his shot from about 4 yards out. The defender blocked it. You have Murillo with that back heel from 2 yards that he somehow managed to hit the bar with. You know, City could have easily dropped points. They didn't play well, but they got the job done. And that's what Manchester City do. And so they closed the gap back to 1 point with one game in hand. So City still very much in the driving seat in the title race. There's a tweet here from Albino that's just incredible. It just sums up how tough it is to beat Manchester City. So in 2024, Arsenal picked up 40 out of 45 points. City have got 39 out of 45. That's the standards that the two sides are setting. at the moment. And when you think of the 5 points that Arsenal dropped, two of those was a 0-0 draw at Manchester City, which is a very, very good result. You know, so it's just basically that Aston Villa game. You know, Arsenal been pretty much perfect for a half a season, and they're still not, probably not going to win the league, because Manchester City just do what Manchester City do. It's just, it's so difficult to win the Premier League because of the standard that Manchester City sets. You know, it really, really is. And we'll wait and see. You never know. They might drop points. I thought personally that that was the biggest chance of them dropping points was yesterday at Nottingham Forest, especially when I saw the team news come out and Foden was ill and wasn't playing. You know, I don't see him getting anything, having any trouble winning at Spurs. I just think Spurs are going to wave the white flag and let them go through. I know Spurs might still potentially have a top four spot to play for, but I just don't think that's going to bother them. I don't think it's going to bother the crowd anyway. The players might be slightly up for it, but I just don't see the crowd generating much of an atmosphere. They're not going to want to ask Arsenal to win the league. So I'd just be very, very surprised. Obviously, you've got to hope, and all Arsenal can do is win. They've just got to win their games and see if anyone can do anything against Manchester City. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult from this point. I always look to that Forest game as the most likely one for them to potentially slip up, but we shall have to wait and see. Quick shout out to Mikel Arteta there with that was his 100th Premier League win yesterday for Arsenal. And it's the fifth quickest manager ever to hit that. You know, you look at the company, the only people he's behind, Pep Guardiola, Mourinho, Jurgen Klopp and Alex Ferguson. He's even done it 10 games faster than Arsene Wenger did. You know, it's an incredible, incredible achievement, especially when you consider the state of Arsenal when he took over. Just did an unbelievable job. And yeah, fair play to Mikel Arteta. Right, let's move on to some of your questions. Well, not questions. Let's move on to some of your opinions for in terms of what you saw yesterday before we wrap this one up. Raphael here has got in touch. Says, "Hey Charles, hope you're well. I've seen a lot of fans pointing the finger at Raya post-match, which I think is a bit harsh. He did make a mistake, but at the same time, he wasn't to anticipate that Romero, the centre-half, would push on like that. You can see he spotted it and wanted to pull out of the pass, but it was just too late. Being in a title race with City has us all demanding all of our players be 100% perfect all season, which is never going to happen. We also have to remember that this is both Declan Rice and David Raya's first away North London derby and first running in. It was telling that they both made big errors that led to goals. But the most impressive thing was their teammates and who were in this position last season kept their heads and showed the maturity to see the game out and carry the two new players through that backs against the wall period. They both will learn from this experience and be better for it. I think the other players deserve huge credit for carrying their mates through their mistakes. Big Gabby and Kai were immense, as was Raya, who grew into the close stages, collecting the ball and dropping on it. Great. Let's enjoy the three games, guys. Stop watching City and focus on how good we finally are, and we will be there next season no matter what." Thought that was a really good comment from Raphael. The Mini Burton says, "Raya and Rice both made silly errors that cost goals. Both did some really good things otherwise. Raya gets a 4 or 5 in the ratings all round. Raya gets 7. Who would be a goalie?" Yeah, it's kind of exactly my point when I spoke about earlier and why I tweaked Raya's rating a little bit. Vet Para says, "Thought we were fortunate. Tomiyasu was very lucky to stay out of the book, which made it easier for him to keep tabs on Kulusevski. Van der Ven's goal could have stood." I don't think so. That's just offside. I don't think that could have stood. "Trossard's clip on Kulusevski in the build-up, Saka's goal would have been a soft penalty, but not like we haven't conceded soft penalties versus Spurs in the past. That was a massive moment. Raya's been excellent, but he ruined the last 35 minutes. I know that's not a penalty for me, the Trossard one on Kulusevski runs across him. It's not like Trossard clips his heels on purpose. It's just to come in together. I just think that's if you get that given against you, you are feeling really, really hard done by. So I just don't think that's a penalty at all. Jeff Butler says, "A win is all that matters. We gifted the Spuds 2 goals. Not a good performance, but who cares? 100%. He's at Tucker says, "Mental test for Raya after the blunder, but the way he handled all those crosses proved his class." Yeah, agree with that. Ed says, "I'm glad the game ended the way it did. Our boys will learn from it and Spurs will take confidence from this going into that game against City. We need them to take that game seriously." Just don't think that's going to happen. Sergio says, "Hi, Charles. Thanks for the great content. No worries. What a performance by Kai Havertz. To me, it's one of the best individual performances of any Arsenal player this season. That's why I don't understand the constant talk about signing a new number 9. What player can we get that is better at pressing, hold-up play, finishing and availability? He never gets injured. You probably can find better players at one of those attributes, but I think only Harry Kane is the better whole package striker. Well, I'm not sure I'd go that far just yet, Sergio, but I understand what you're saying. And then 1000T says, Kai was phenomenal this game. No wonder Arsenal are looking for wide forwards instead. He's younger than Nketiah and was playing like he was in Leverkusen today. I genuinely think he could get us over 15 to 20 goals next season if we start him up front. Feel very sorry for Jesus, but it seems we found our number nine. You think, well, as I said earlier, yeah, I think it's definitely a big worth debating, and we'll do that later on this week in one of the shows. It's definitely a good debate, and the way he's playing at the moment, Kai Havertz, I can't praise him enough for what he's doing in that number nine role and how he's basically made himself the spearhead of this Arsenal title charge over the business end of the season. Who would have predicted that in the first couple of months? Right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for watching or for listening. Appreciate your time. As always, enjoy your Monday. The North London derby has been won. North London is red. You can't ask for much more than that on a Monday. Enjoy the start to your week. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.